I thank the organizer for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here and to present this paper. And two of my co-authors are in the audience, René and Noor. This is a paper motivated by long-run risk models. As we know, like CCAPM got a new life with the long-run risk models. And the work of Bansai Oron, they explain at least the momentum of asset pricing in the model with two sorts of long-run risks. The first one is a small long-run predictable component in the expected consumption growth and dividend. And the second source of long-run risk is the persistent economic uncertainty in consumption measured by the consumption volatility. When they combine those two sources of long-run risk with the Krebs Portillo's preference in the Epstein-Zinn framework, they are able to do the magic, you know, to do the problem was with the expected utility, that with the expected utility, only short-run risk were compensated. And when we have Krebs Portillo's preference with early resolution, preference for early resolution of uncertainty, we have a positive risk premium for long-run risks. So from the two sources of long-run risk, we chose and also to cap the second one. The first source is a little bit more debatable, we argue, than the second one. It's harder to detect statistically by univariate models, and this source of long-run risk that is hard to detect statistically, in the model, the investors should be aware and detect them to price them. And the other problem is that it has a counterfactual implication that the consumption growth, it will be predictable by the price dividend ratio. A more recent calibration of Bansal, Kiko, and Aron, they shift the weight towards the second source of long-run risk, persistent volatility. Nonetheless, they need the first source. The two sources interact, as they show in the recent paper, and without the first source, the second source is not priced. We propose a model with the following ingredients. We have a preference that might be enriched. We have a generalized disappointment version that I will explain in a minute. And we have an endowment process that's simpler. We have a random walk in terms of the mean with persistent stochastic volatility. The generalization of this preference comes from Farquhar's contribution, but they were like generalized by Rutledge-Zinn. There was like the idea of those preferences, they depart from the expected utility by having a higher weight for disappointing outcomes. And disappointing outcomes are measured in Farquhar's original contribution by outcomes below the certainty equivalent and by the generalized disappointment aversion, you have we have another parameter where disappointing outcomes are outcomes below kappa times the certainty equivalent. So we have this parameter kappa that generalizes what is a disappointing outcome. It has some implications. There is this asymmetry, and we know that loss aversion also has asymmetries, and that have been used in the literature and helps to explain puzzles. But they are built from rational axioms. And when we embed those preferences in the Epstein-Zinn recursive utility framework, we have the potential to price long-run risks. And this combination is important, as it will become clear. And the fact that this preference has a kink in that kappa times certainty equivalent, it makes it especially sensitive to volatility risks. And then we have those ingredients. So we have like volatility risks in our endowment process, and we have those preferences that price long-run risk and especially sensitive to volatility risks. So those ingredients are the ones that are going to work for the model. We had a technical problem when we had the kink, in terms of using methods commonly used, like Kapler-Shiller approximation, we could not use the same methods because of the kink. And then we have a solution method where we approximate the endowment process by a Markov switching model. And then with my Markov switching model, we are able to derive closed form solution for return moments at predictability regressions, coefficients, and R-squares. And then we are able to really to have nice pictures with continuous variation of the parameters. In terms of the results, advancing the results, we are able to generate moments and predictability in line with the data. As we compare with Bansal KKR-ON, we have more predictability of assessed returns by price dividend ratio. That was a problem of the model, that we were not getting enough predictability. And we get like less predictability. You don't have the problem of having this predictability, excess predictability of consumption growth rate by price dividend ratio in our model. You know that as we will see. So we are more in line with the data, and we do as well in the, with the moments. And also different from Bansal-KKR-ON model, our results do not depend on the intertemporal elasticity of substitution being greater than one. And one can think that our results are because we have a lot of parameters in terms of the preference, but although our benchmark case has more parameters, we have a simpler case in the paper where VA preference with two parameters that does almost as well. And then we. So with Epstein-Zink recursive framework, we have that utilities-related consumption into the certain equivalent of future utility, and we have this C, the IES parameter there appearing, elasticity of intertemporal substitution. And so we can combine several certain equivalent formulas with this framework. When we combine with the CRA expected utility, then we obtain the Krebs-Porteus preference. It's what like Bansal-KKR-ON do, and then we see a crucial parameter of interest is this theta, that is the relation between gamma and 1 over xi. And when gamma is, theta is greater than 0, we have preference for early resolution of uncertainty. This is essential to price long-run risk in the model. When we use a different certain equivalent formulation, we use like the GDA. The GDA, we have this first integral that is the same as expected utility, and we have this second term. And we have this alpha is a parameter that measures the intensity of disappointment aversion. When alpha is equal to 1, this second term disappears, we are back to expected utility. When alpha is lower than 1, and you have this second term, and this we see that with outcomes lower than this is the our kink, the certainty equivalent will be reduced. So on the other parameter of interest, in terms of disappointment aversion, we have the alpha, that is intensity of disappointment aversion, and we have the kappa that will measure the place where the kink is. If we put this stochastic discount factor that comes from this model, we have the first two terms are just the Krebs-Porteus Epstein-Zink SDS, and we have this term that comes from GDA. I'd like to give an example to make to give intuition about how those preferences work. In this example, we have gamma equal to 0 and IES is equal infinity. So if there were no disappointment aversion, we have just linear utility. So all disappointment aversion in this comes from all risk aversion comes from disappointment aversion in this thing. So here we have this SDF. We have that two outcomes for each state. We have only two possible outcomes. In one outcome, we have the disappointing outcome when the return of the market portfolio is disappointing, and we have a non-disappointing outcome. When we have disappointing outcomes, the SDF is going to be alpha minus 1 greater then the SDF for non-disappointing outcomes. If alpha is equal 1/3, for example, the SDF is going to be 3 times higher for disappointing outcomes. This has two properties: generates variability of the SDF that we need to usually to produce sizable risk premium, and also since in each state we have that the probability of disappointing outcomes may differ, we have the potential to generate state-dependent risk aversion. So let's try to detail a little bit more the intuition on how this could generate like state-dependent risk premium. And we have like the risk premium formula that depends on the covariance of the FDF with the return of this on the stock. And if this, suppose is natural to think that that the return on the stock is positively correlated with the return in the market portfolio, then when the return on the stock is low, the M is high, and then this covariance can be very negative, generating sizable equity premium. But in other states, the probability of disappointing outcomes could be very small. And then M will be almost constant, and this covariance is going to be very small, and the equity premium is going to be very small. So then we plug those preferences with, just to explain a little bit, it's already very known, the model of long-run risk. You have that consumption growth depends on the XT. XT is the expected consumption growth. This thing is very persistent. A parameter of interest is this phi x, that is the persistence of expected consumption growth. And the other thing, we have the stochastic volatility. That's also very persistent with the persistent phi sigma. So those two parameters are for interest, is the parameters of interest. Like in BQI, they assume phi x 0.975, phi sigma 999. We use the same calibration as BQI with one exception. We change the phi sigma for 0.995 for having a half-life of 11.5 years instead of having a half-life of 58 years as in the original calibration. So our proposed model is a simpler one, where we have only the stochastic volatility, persistence that is persistent. And we don't have the, we have a random walk as a, in terms of the mean. So, and then when we plug together the LRR and GDA, how does thing work? Well, you have the SDF of expected utility. Then you just have like consumption X period. When you have like crabs for tails, the long run risk matters, because here we have like future utility and the long run risk will matter to future utility. But you see that this will depend on the relation between those two parameters, phi and gamma. When we have the GDA, we have an additional channel, and this additional channel does not depend on the IAS. So we approximate the endowment process by the Markov switching model. Since I'm short in time, I go directly to the main results. That's our calibration. We try to be a little bit standard in terms of our calibration. Here is the first column is the data, and then the moments generated by the GDA. We see that the moments are very much in line with the data. Here is the population. This is a small sample median, and these are the p-values of the small sample. So when we look at the predictability, that's something that's hard to really to match. The model has a very good performance. This is the predictability of excess return by parsed dividend ratio. This is the R-squares and the coefficients. And we see for 1, 3, 5 years, we see that the model does very well in this respect. And of course, since we have a random walk in terms of the mean, we don't. This is the predictability of consumption growth in the data. In the population, we don't have none, and also we do very well in this respect. Let's look at the sensitivity of the preference. We have like two other calibrations of the preference. We have one with IAS lower than one. Remember that Bansal-Yaron needs this parameter to be bigger than 1 to be able to generate any sensible results. And we have another calibration where the disappointment aversion is a very simple one, comes only from, we don't have any curvature other than disappointment aversion. So we see that we are still able to do very, very well this AIF lower than 1. When this very simple kind of preference that has disappointment aversion, we still get some stylized facts here. We could even do better but we didn't want to play much with the parameters. We want to keep the same baseline parameters, but we could do still better. And with crabs for tails, we cannot get the equity premium. You cannot you have price dividend ratios that are crazy. And in terms of predictability, again, we are able to do well, reasonably well, with those preferences, and we don't get much predictability of with crabs for tails. And finally, we also compare the preference, all the preference using the original Bansal-Yaron environment, where you have also the first source of long-run risk. And then you have this, instead of showing the tables, I will show those pictures. I think they illustrate what the importance of the persistence of consumption growth for their results. Here is like their preference, crabs for tails, and in their setting. For population value. So we see that for getting the equity premium, they really need, there is a very narrow range of parameters that generate reasonable equity premium. And we see for our preference, the disappointment aversion preference, they do not depend on the persistence of consumption growth much. And the same, and for predictability, well, and also for the price dividend ratio, if you get like a 5x at persistence of consumption growth, I'm sorry, I should say that this is what is in the horizontal axis, but the persistence of consumption growth is a bit lower, the price goes to infinity. So, conclusions. We have a new model for asset pricing, has a simple endowment process with only one source of long-run risk, the persistent volatility. It generalized disappointment averse preference. Those preferences were shown to add realism in other settings. They help to solve the Allais paradox. They are also help to solve a lot of puzzles in asset allocation, like non-participation in the stock market. And we've shown that combining this persistent volatility with GDA, it helps to produce asset price moments and predictability patterns as well.